So, hello everyone. See if the sound okay here. So I have a sort of a pre-release project that I sort of want to drum up some interest for, get some early feedback on, and it's called Postcad. I've got a terrible sort of self-drawn logo there, but I just wanted to get something started with that. And so a quick bio about me. FreeCAD, I would say this is my main work, is dependencies, distribution, and infrastructure. I'm also a member of the FPA. I'm a Debian developer. And then sort of my educational background there, biological and agricultural engineering. And then I'm about to finish up my master's in CS. And so this talk is a little tricky to calibrate because I don't think there are very many people who are in the center of this Venn diagram. Really, you only kind of need to know the CAD and databases aspect, but I am using a motivating example from the world of geospatial software, specifically QGIS. And so if anyone kind of already has any familiarity with that, that helps, but I will try to make it not so necessary. Oops, went too far. And so for anyone who's not super familiar with OpenCascade, so it's what's used by FreeCAD for sort of its CAD geometry and operations and data and so forth. But it's got several problems. It's sort of a behemoth. It's got sort of its own C++, say, rolled their own smart pointers and so forth before that became a standard. And so there's just difficulty in contributing to it. But essentially, if we can get more people using it, it'll benefit us all because, you know, as soon as a developer starts using it, that's the first step on the path to potentially becoming a contributor. And even if they can't, let's say, for example, fix the sort of the holy grail problem of like the fillet operation, for example, which is very, very buggy, even if they can't do that, they can potentially free up another person by contributing. And so essentially, if we can sort of plant a seed and then grow an ecosystem, it should help us all. And so there's several ways people are using OpenCascade already besides, you know, FreeCAD and, of course, KiCad as well. And so you can think of it in terms of at the language level. So people are using, you know, Python bindings or JavaScript bindings and so forth. But in this case, I'm actually proposing sort of an architectural a switch in sort of the architecture and how you can interact with it by putting OpenCascade in the database. And so this is one of my favorite things about open source and free software, is just that we can essentially pull this one and go and look at what people in QGIS are doing and say, this looks pretty cool, let's just copy everything. And so I'm going to essentially run through what they're doing with it and kind of explain PostGIS, which is the inspiration for PostCAD. And so just to begin with, if anyone has used QGIS before, on the left side of the screen, sort of where FreeCAD has its model tree, they instead have sort of this browser here. And so you can see you've got, you know, your file system and so forth, but then you also have PostGIS specifically, and then potentially other databases, since once PostGIS came around, even like, let's say, Spatialite, they decided, okay, let's kind of take this idea and, you know, spread it throughout the whole database world, and so we can have, you know, file-based databases for GIS and so forth, not just a heavy server process. And so QGIS is sort of how I first learned about PostGIS, but there's a whole ecosystem around it. Specifically, we've got like the Leaflet.js for making web apps. You've got GeoDjango if you just want to make, like, let's say, an API, and even like Flask if you just want to have something very small and simple. And there's lots of other sort of integrations. There's a whole ecosystem there. And so just to kind of give you a specific example, this text might be a little small, but this kind of shows you exactly how one might use PostGIS. And so in the first section here, we have a query where we are doing sort of a little bit of normal SQL where we do like select name, but then we have this sort of special function here, st as text, and then we have the geometry. And so the output there is essentially this string representation of the PostGIS data type, showing you the latitude and the longitude there. And so you can also, Yeah, so here's another example where you can actually do sort of, rather than just casting something to a string, you can do sort of a GIS operation where you say, what is the area of the West Village in New York City? And then it goes ahead and gives you the numerical result. And so on top of that, there's also GeoAlchemy. So you can just have sort of a very thin database like a ORM or object relational mapper or just kind of interacting with it. So you can sort of define your tables if you don't really want to be, you know, declare things directly in SQL, and you can even go on and make a model in Geo Django. I'm not sure if this is the next slide. But yes, so here's just another example of how you might see the interface in Python. It's fairly similar. You've got sort of this namespace ST area in the same way that you did in the SQL, kind of calling into that. And so PostCAD basically would be taking this idea and applying it in the CAD world. And so just quick examples. You know, the nice thing is, you know, like copying other people's work or taking advantage of their work, like in QGIS, there's so much work that's been done in the PostgreSQL ecosystem, you know, sort of the performance, transactions, locking, and so forth. And there's a whole ecosystem with that as well, so that, you know, we're kind of just doing sort of like a combinatorial explosion of all of the things that people can do. And so essentially, what I would like to do is, you know, give some people some ideas about how they might be able to use PostCAD. And so just, you know, the very basic is that, you know, by having a database process somewhere, you can enable a client-server model. And so you can, you know, have it so that a heavy load, like an operation that causes heavy load on your laptop, no longer has it happen locally. And so you can offload it to, let's say, a beefy machine, you know, perhaps like a company server, or, you know, maybe your desktop at home. And so you can do sort of data models on top of the CAD data. So for example, you could have a query like, I would like to show all the assemblies that have a certain grade of steel. And so with the sort of company local server idea that I mentioned, just as an example, you could run that sort of query. You could say, you know, perhaps you do some sort of locking implementation, and perhaps you do some sort of checkout where you, you know, replicate that data onto a local server or the local process that's also running the same server. You know, you do some changes, and then you perhaps push it and release the lock. And also, so essentially the tricky part, though, I guess there's several tricky parts, but one of that is that, you know, if we are sort of sending off some request and then we are going to be waiting for the result of that request, we're going to have some, we're going to need some sort of task queue. And so FreeCAD doesn't exactly have anything like that yet, but if we sort of create the demand for it, then we could also have, I guess, a better performance with even without using PostCAD. And so PostCAD, like I said, is still pre-release, but if you kind of think in the far future, some of the other things that this might potentially unlock. So for example, you know, I mentioned OpenCascade is sort of the elephant in the room as far as CAD kernels, but there are other options too. So for example, just BRLCAD is one. There's one that's being written in Rust, a new CAD kernel there. And so essentially, if we are able to go in and have sort of a thin database wrapper around OpenCascade, and then perhaps the higher level database wrapper on top of that, then we can say, you know, consumers of this use this higher level API, and then later on, if, let's say we add BRLCAD support, we can go ahead and say, oh, perhaps this function or this operation is more performant with BRLCAD, and try to make a good decision to kind of take advantage of more than just OpenCascade. And so a very interesting possibility with this too is that, you know, let's say, for example, we have analytics in the future that tells us, you know, certain patterns, like let's say you make a pad and then you've got a sketch on top of it, perhaps that's going to be a hole. And so before you've actually even called the function to create the hole, you could speculatively say that this might be coming, go ahead and offload that to a server, and then go ahead and receive the result, cache it, and then if the person does indeed do that, they can go ahead and apply that so that they don't have the sort of the overhead of the network latency and everything as soon as they press the button. And so potentially also, if they sort of have a sequence of operations that forms sort of a flow graph, and that graph has certain partitions that can be made on top of it, you could separate those into having multiple different PostCAD processes running. So finished a little bit early, but I just kind of wanted to open for questions, I guess, as far as feedback and so forth, if anyone has any questions.
Questions?
Architecturally, what does this look like in terms of implementation?
Yeah, so the tricky part is that Postgres is in C and OpenCascade is in C++. And so essentially you have to go and do sort of a wrapping of all of the constructors and so forth and destructors, and it's a bit tedious. And so in OpenCascade, they have sort of the model example if you go into the documentation. And so what I've done so far is I went in there and sort of manually did the bindings for the specific operations that are involved in that, and then sort of just did sort of the hard coding of the SQL for that. So, but in sort of in the future, I'm going to have to do some sort of binding generator, but I haven't really gotten to that yet. So,
so how are you going to deal with the topological naming problem?
Yeah, so I don't know if that's going to really be, repeating the question, how am I going to deal with the topological naming problem? I basically am not going to worry about that yet. I think that in terms of the interface, the first step is to sort of span the OpenCascade library in terms of the CAD data types and operations, and then we can sort of, say, implement heuristics and so forth afterwards. But essentially the first step, I think, is just to have everything available.
Hi, thanks. Can you give some examples of the GIS ecosystem that would translate to the CAD world? So just to give us a bit more.
Sure, yeah. So the question was about the relationship between the GIS ecosystem and the CAD world. So GIS, just as, as an example, if you imagine you have a point on the Earth, so you then would want to find, let's say, maybe two points, and you want to find the distance on the sphere. You know, you're dealing with, geometry or connectedness of, let's say, different tracts of land. And so in terms of, like, geometry, topology, and so forth, you have sort of the underlying, a lot of the underlying mathematics is the same, but you just have different applications.
So maybe going back to the early motivation, so why, how is it done today with OpenCascade? Does it have a database or what? Yes. So I see the move from GIS to CAD or your contenders, but yes, I'm a bit surprised to see a database that there's in the middle of OpenCascade.
Well, so the question was about sort of the current approach as far as a database with OpenCascade. And so OpenCascade, it doesn't really have any conception of that, I guess I would say. So they, they have, let's say, like I mentioned, the data types, operations, file formats and exchanges, visualization, and so forth. But in terms of the actual data, it's basically limited to the file system.
You don't have to use a database or this intermediate layer of database. Might not slow down the process. I mean, if you want to say, okay, I want to move this face or this vertex, and you will go to the database.
Yeah. So the question was sort of about the performance impacts of the database. Yes. So absolutely. Sort of the recreation of objects, the network latency, and so forth. It will not necessarily be more performant for small data. But I think for larger data, or in the case that I mentioned of like the speculative execution, if we can mask that sort of overhead, then the especially one other thing too is that, let's say for example we have a configuration option that has the database details, and we have sort of a button, a smart button which says if you are configured to connect to a database, perhaps this button will use that database, but instead. It could actually, if you don't have that configured, you would just use it, the sort of the normal current approach of running things locally. And so, kind of depends. And so one of the, applications I'm thinking of with this is like a Raspberry Pi. And so with that, if someone's running like in an educational context, you have a classroom with a whole bunch of people that are limited by their SD cards. And so especially with the machine, even with the Pi 5 being fairly decent for running FreeCAD currently, the SD card is a huge limitation. And so in that case, the trade-off of that versus the network and so forth could be acceptable. And so it's kind of about introducing choice and the potential for people to use it in ways that you might not imagine.
I sorry, I'm still trying to wrap my head around this, but so I think you use Open Cascade mostly to generate geometry.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do a query to the to Postcat, and then it generates the geometry, and you retrieve that from the database, and then that is cached, or?
Well, so yeah, the question was about that the typical use of Open Cascade would be to generate some geometry, but if you think, for example, the case of finding an intersection of complicated parts, that's the sort of thing where having the work be offloaded might make more sense. But if you're just doing sort of say human scale or even like hobbyist scale CAD, the data it may not make much sense there.
So you assume also a database of existing geometry?
Well, so in that case, the data would already be on that database server. And so you don't have any data except for the view inside of FreeCAD. The data is in the server, and so it's not like you're sending something there and then the operation is happening. It's already being done inside of that server. But yes, you could also have a database of existing geometries, like a part library. In the case of like the company, assemblies of steel with a certain grade. And also one thing too with that is that with Postgres, there's all this like access control and so forth. And so you could have different levels of permissions and so forth for different parts, which you could also implement it, like let's say like the API level or the application level for like a web app, but you could also have it inside of the database.
So how are you distinguishing properties that are intrinsic in the Open Cascade models versus properties that you would be assigning in the database? Is there a way that you're thinking of programmatically keeping those distinct in your implementation?
I would say talking about distinguishing the sort of database properties and Open Cascade properties. Let me go back to a slide here. Let's see. And so essentially with that, I would probably just be doing some sort of prefixing to create a sort of a namespace. And so I would have sort of one that's specifically for Open Cascade maybe, and then maybe one for Postcat itself, and then just have the Postcat assume that Open Cascade is what's being used so that people sort of get started using the higher level interface so then I can change the implementation details afterwards.
Last question? Okay, thank you, Kurt.
Thanks.